Let's pray, and as we approach God's word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. We pray that it might direct and lead us in the power of your Spirit for your praise and glory. Amen. Well, today is Vision Sunday, and as has already been mentioned, usually this is the Sunday where we outline our vision for the coming year, our priorities, the things that we are going to plan that will shape the church's life over the coming months. But this year, we are going to do things just a little bit differently. We're not going to ignore the coming year, but we're going to start at least by taking a step back from the immediate. And we're going to take a chance to think about our wider vision as a church. What our aims and our objectives are, not just for the coming year, not just for 12 months, but much more generally and much more broadly. And I thought before I tell you how we're going to do that, it would be useful for us to think about why we need vision in the first place. A few years ago, a research team from Germany discovered a very interesting fact about human beings. And the fact is this, that human beings, if we cannot see where we are going, cannot walk in a straight line. It is impossible for us to walk in a straight line unless we have something to focus on. So if you blindfold someone, for example, and ask them to walk straight ahead, assuming they're not going to walk into things, if there's a nice sort of broad space that they can do that, they will start fine. I imagine each one of us would feel pretty confident that if you put a blindfold on and you asked you to walk straight ahead, you would be able to walk straight ahead, at least to begin with. The trouble is that very soon, if you can't see where you're going, you will start to veer off course. And not only will you end up not going in a straight line, you will end up, the researchers found, walking in circles. And so the German team did some research and they found this to be true. When people are blindfolded, no matter what the terrain, they end up walking in circles. So this is a map that they produced. The brighter lines at the top, which look straight, were the controls, when people could see where they were going or could see landmarks. But the wiggly lines are when people couldn't see where they were going. And you can see that people just end up walking around and around in circles. Now, you might think, well, okay, that's fine, but thankfully, people don't blindfold me on a daily basis, so surely I'm okay. But of course, it doesn't just figure when you're blindfolded. If it's foggy or otherwise difficult to see, if you can't see a landmark, for example, if you can't see where you're going, you simply won't walk straight. And it's one of the very simple reasons that when you see people walking down the street with their phone in front of them, they don't walk in a straight line either and end up going all over the place. As human beings, we need something to set our eyes on. We need something to look towards in order to get to where we're going. And if we don't have our sight set properly, then we won't get to where we need to go. And instead of heading in that positive direction, we will wander around in circles, aimlessly. So we need vision. We need to set our eyes somewhere and to know where we're going in order to be able to get there. And I'm not relying just on the research team in Germany to make that point, because that truth is also reflected in our passage from chapter 5 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In the midst of these verses, and there's so much richness in those verses, Paul tells us this. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." And in fact, in the original Greek, very literally, Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus, watch how you walk. Watch how you walk. Now, the context helps us to see that what he's really saying is, be very careful about how you live. But literally, it's watch where you're going. Watch where you're walking. Take heed and look where you are putting your steps. And God is calling us as a church and as individuals to be wise walkers. We aren't supposed to be people who stride off in any old direction, unaware of where we're going and uncertain of how to get there. We are to walk wisely, watching our steps, living with our eyes open and fixing our vision in the right place. Now, overall, that vision for each one of us is to be placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also are able to discern and to direct our steps in particular ways. So how do we do that? Well, our wider vision as a church, I think, falls into three main areas. The first of those areas is our values. And our values are all about who we are as a church. The things that shape us, the things that are most important to us, and therefore the things that make us who we are. And whether they articulate them or not, every church, indeed, I would say, every organization, every group of people has a set of values that defines them. So our values are one area. And then secondly, we also have a mission. And our mission is all about why we're here. So value is about who we are. Mission is about why we're here. In the broadest sense, it's about what we do as a church. It's the reason we're here, our purpose for existing. And again, many churches, indeed many organizations, try to summarize that mission in a helpful way, in a concise sentence, a sort of mission statement, which can be very helpful. So values and mission, and then thirdly, our vision. And our vision is where we are going. So we need our values to know who we are. We need our mission to know why we're here. And only then can we think about our vision of, with those things in place, where are we going? What are the opportunities that God is placing before us? What do we want to achieve as a church? Not just in the coming year, but in the coming 5 to 10 years, or even longer perhaps. And what kind of church do we want to be at the end of that time? What, if you like, is our destination? Where are we placing our sights as we move forward? Those three areas are the three key things that we need to have in place as a church: our values, our mission, and our vision. And I hope that you know we already have those things in place. And it would be an interesting exercise to see how many people could actually name our mission statement or our values, for example. I'm not going to test you on that, don't worry. Everyone's feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But what we're going to do is, over the course of the autumn into the new year, we're going to revisit those three things: our values, our mission, and our vision. We're going to refresh them and renew them, not because they are in some ways wrong or necessarily outdated, and they have certainly served us very well. But it's good to revisit these things from time to time. And the reason we revisit these things is because it enables our sight to be surely set in the right place, rather than just assume that we have that. And also so that we all have a sense of being part of that wider vision. Some of you may have been part of HCR when those values and that mission was last talked about. And so you have a very real sense of knowing what they are and being part of that discussion. Others will have joined the church since that, and you may have no idea what that mission and values, what those mission and values are all about. And so it's good for us from time to time. Again, I think that is exactly what the Apostle Paul encourages us to do in this passage. Because he tells the Ephesians to watch how they walk, watch how they live, and he says, do that not as unwise, but as wise. Use your thoughts and your understanding to consider these things and to think about them. And then he goes on to say these things in verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And again, previously in verse 10, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. Understand what the Lord's will is. Find out what pleases the Lord. So as a church community, we are called to be wise. We are called to actively understand what the Lord's will is and what pleases him. Now, as we embark on this journey, I want us to see two key things about what Paul is saying, particularly in those verses. The first is, as he says, understand what the Lord's will is, what pleases the Lord. The first thing is, that is possible. It is entirely possible to find out what the Lord's will is and what pleases him. Now, you might think, well, of course it is. But just take a moment to think about how extraordinary that is. God is not someone who is distant from us and unconcerned about our church life or our direction. He reveals himself. He makes himself known through his word, by his spirit, through one another. And so it is entirely possible for us to understand what the Lord's will for us as a church is. This isn't a fool's errand that we're embarking on. We can know and find out what God wants for us as a church. Indeed, God calls us to do exactly that. So the first thing is, it is possible. And the second thing is that it involves action. So Paul tells the Ephesians, find out what pleases the Lord. He doesn't say, so sit back and somehow supernaturally God will reveal that to you, although God is quite capable of doing that. His advice, his command to the Ephesians is very active. Understand what the Lord's will is. Be wise, not unwise. Find out what pleases the Lord. Investigate it. Think about it. Consider it. It's something that involves our thoughts and our feelings and our actions and our energy. It involves prayer. It involves waiting on the Lord. It involves listening to him. And it involves considering and thinking and weighing things up as well. It isn't something passive, but active. It is something we do, and we do it together as a church. So, how are we going to do this? How are we going to consider our values and our mission and our vision as a church? Well, over the course of the coming months, we're going to have various opportunities to do exactly what Paul tells us to do here, to understand what the Lord's will is and to find out what pleases him. So we'll do that in various ways over Sundays in the autumn. And we'll also have opportunities to do that in our life groups. So I hope that every life group will have a chance to think about these three areas. And life group leaders will be getting some material to help them to do that over the next day or so. Some groups will do in different ways. So it may look slightly different depending on which life group you're in. But we hope that will be a great opportunity to not only consider and pray, but also to feed back those thoughts and ideas and discernment together as a church. We're also going to use one of our upcoming Sunday evening praise and prayer evenings to pray into this whole area of our vision and to listen for God's direction. And in particular, our PCC and our staff team are going to spend some time thinking and praying, considering this through a couple of away days over the next few months. And we want to try and provide a whole host of different ways over the autumn for people to engage and to think about this. But if you're not able to make a particular Sunday or a particular praise and prayer or life group, you are very welcome to feedback thoughts and ideas and any discernment that you have about God's direction for us. All of that will come together in a Vision Launch Sunday in January. So this is Vision Sunday, where we start this process, and we're going to bring it to a conclusion in January, where we will hopefully present our refreshed vision and mission and values that we've consulted together as a church. And I hope we'll all feel that we've had the opportunity to contribute to discerning that shared vision. And it will be helpful and fruitful for us as we set our direction as a church into the future. We have an opportunity to start this morning. So you may or may not have noticed as you came in, but in front of the welcome board over there, there is a nice white piece of paper with Holy Trinity Is written on it. And there are some pens there. It'd be great to start this journey by putting on that board any words or phrases that you think you most associate with Holy Trinity, either right now that you've really valued or that God has been putting on your heart and your mind, and that you'd love to say, this is what I think God is calling us to be. So please do put any and all thoughts on there. You don't have to put your name, so it could be completely anonymous. I don't know what your handwriting looks like, so you're okay. But we'd love you to engage with that after the service. But as I bring this to conclusion, I want us to think about Paul's advice to us in verse 18, because I think this is very helpful for us to consider as we embark on this journey. He says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, which is the most important bit, be filled with the Spirit. Now, looking out amongst these very, very respectable people that I see in front of me, I'll have to do just a little bit of explaining about the first part of that verse. So what happens if you drink alcohol to excess? Because, of course, none of you will know what this feels like. Is that it numbs our senses. Now, let's be realistic. We probably do know what that means. It numbs our senses. It dulls our minds. And we probably have some understanding of that. And what alcohol does is it removes our wisdom. It stops our discernment, doesn't it? And that's why it often leads to poor decisions when you drink to excess. And what Paul is saying, that is not the way we should act as Christians. Now, this is not a discussion about drinking alcohol as Christians or not, but what Paul is doing, he's setting up a lovely contrast. He's saying, look, if you drink to excess, you become unwise. You don't think clearly. You don't discern properly. But instead of being filled with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because unlike wine, the Holy Spirit activates our senses. It empowers our minds. The Holy Spirit enables us to think and discern and consider clearly. Being filled with the Spirit is the way to wisdom and discernment. And as we think about understanding the Lord's will, finding out what pleases Him, it is the Spirit who enables us to be able to do that. So I hope there's going to be lots of opportunities to pray, to think, to feedback, consider in a whole host of different ways. I hope there's going to be particularly at least one way that really connects with you over these coming months. But above all else, the thing that I hope that we pray for is to be filled with the Spirit. In many ways, we could strip away so much more, so much other things. And if we're just left with that, what a great foundation and a great start that is. Fill us with your Spirit. Overflow from us, Lord, as you fill us more and more. Let's pray for that now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to be wise, to be discerning, to understand. But you don't leave us to do that on our own. But you direct our thoughts and our feelings and our actions by your Holy Spirit, who is present with us now. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill us afresh, fill us anew, fill us more and more, not just for this process of discernment, but to direct us and to enable us as a church now and in the years to come. Fill us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.